fighting for America.
We are here today to beat up on Jonathan Gruber for stupid, I mean absolutely stupid, comments. Dr. Gruber's statements gave Republicans a public relations gift.
Fighting for Idaho.
This report will damage our relationship with several significant international counterterrorism partners at a time when we can least afford it.
Fighting for you.
Without this camera, folks just don't interpret just how quickly these things take place and the level of resistance that the officers are faced with.
Voices Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. It's Old Home Week, if you will. Chris Troup is joining us to talk about life, liberty, and, of course, the law. So you've you run for office. You've been back in the real world. Do you miss the electioneering, the politicking?
Well, Kevin, before I respond to that, I want to say it's really an honor to be back here and a pleasure, too, to see you again. Thank you for having me. No, I don't actually miss the politicking. I miss meeting all the people around Idaho. I got to make a whole lot of great friends, and I was involved in the thick of it. I really enjoyed just being involved with the people and getting to know them. But no, I'm actually back in the workaday world.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your observations, having been an operative, still working behind the scenes, if you will. And, you know, as a former candidate, how did you see the general election? It's been about a month. Were you surprised at how strong the governor was, how strong his platform was?
I actually was. I expected it to be a whole lot closer. I don't think that Mr. Belukov ran a great campaign. I don't think he had a lot to say, and there was an awful lot of anti-Obama sentiment. But notwithstanding that, I thought that the scandals that plagued Governor Otter would have taken its toll. But you know what? The Republican Party faithful seemed to come out and vote for him anyway. So, yes, I definitely was surprised.
Well, let's get into that a little. The Republicans came home, and the governor, who had been under fire, under siege, got some money from the Republican Governors Association, had the perfect storm against him. You know, honor fatigue and everything else, the scandals, the this, that, and the other. A well-funded opponent, and still he pulls away with a larger margin than he did the last time.
Yeah, his opponent spent $4 million and didn't make even a creditable showing, which was amazing to me. I thought that Governor Otter would have won, but only by a couple of percentage points, and here he did it walking away, which I think is, to me, it's unfortunate. I felt that the conservative wing of the Republican Party, when they said we are not going to support candidates who do not espouse Republican values, would have stood by their guns. And you know what? They all voted for the lesser of two evils.
Well, in the end, though, does that show you that the conservative wing is not as strong as everybody thought it was?
I think I have to agree with you. We need to do a lot of work. And the work has to be at the grassroots, and it has to be issue-oriented, and it has to start now.
Let's go back to your famous quote, where we're talking about people hanging out and doing their own thing and, you know, watching sports and doing all these things while the country is burning up. Is that really your thoughts concerning the state of Idaho, considering all the issues against the governor, and he pulled away?
Absolutely. You know, and I'm sorry to say it, because we here in Idaho have all of the best opportunities for really making a difference. We have the opportunity, and we're a small state, and there's just a few of us. We can make a difference, but people don't seem to care. They seem to expect that if you've got the R brand behind your name, that you are a real Republican, you are a conservative, and you have the same values, and then they go about doing their business. And I know Boise State's winning. But you know what? There are more important things to life than a football game.
And yet we see that time and time again. When do you think the rubber will hit the road?
Well, I think that with what President Obama's done on immigration, I think that with the health care changes, you know, we're going to see massive increases in expenses for health care. And our economy is going to continue to languish along. I would bet that by this next summer, we're going to have a very hot summer.
What do you mean?
Well, I think that all of the problems that we've seen with our economy are going to boil over. I think that we're going to have huge immigration issues. I think that we're going to see the new Congress, our new Republican Congress, get absolutely nothing done. We're going to see either everything vetoed or a stalemate, or what is more likely, we're going to see a lack of new ideas from the supposed conservatives we've elected.
Isn't that the way the founding fathers designed our system, though?
Well,
that nothing gets done?
Yeah, you got me there. It is. But unfortunately, we've had such a malaise in all areas of government. And now look at the ratings. Our Congress has had an acceptance rating or an approval rating of under 13%. I don't think at the time of, you know, we founded this country, even though that was the plan that we would have checks and balances, we have lost faith in government. And we have to have somebody's got to give us a boost to get it back. We have to have faith in government. Without faith in government, we're doomed.
Chris Troup is with us, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. So let's talk a little bit about the Great Awakening. You had Senator Fulcher, you had yourself, you had this slate, and now that's done. What's left for the grassroots folks as the legislature gets ready to gear up?
Well, you know, I've actually, I said I didn't mind not being in the political world, but I am still working in it. I've met with some people in leadership, and I intend to meet with them, have a meeting scheduled for January 7 with Tea Party leaders from around the state. And what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to create a kind of a separate news source, an expansion of the Gem State Patriot, if you will.
Gee, once again, so you're talking on our platform here about an alternate news source.
Don't worry, Kevin. You're still our Marconi Award winner, and there is no way that we're going to walk away from you. You're our leader. So, but we need to have people from all parts of the state involved in issues around the state.
Why is that important to have this alternate news service, though?
Well, because right now, all that we get from the printed media, all that we get is the Idaho Statesman, the Lewiston Tribune, we get new, and even the Coeur d'Alene Press. All that we get are the liberal slant on everything. We have to have news, printable news, in print, that people can look at. In the rural communities, they post these, you know, these printed media. It's posted, and people listen to it. They have to have something they can trust, and they have to have something that's relevant to them. And I think that if we create a conservative union, a conservative news source that will tie people issues together around the state, then we'll create a coalition that in 2 years will make a difference.
So in 2 years, y'all are coming back.
Oh, I don't think we're going anywhere.
Well, that'll be interesting to see this. Now, the legislature obviously is looking at some big issues. Perhaps an increase in the gasoline tax to fund transportation, perhaps Medicaid expansion, Medicare expansion. Let's take a look at that. Do you think that'll be a tough sell?
I think it's going to be a very tough sell. But I don't know. I haven't done the numbers. I haven't crunched the numbers to know whether or not we got enough conservatives to block the Medicaid expansion. I think Medicaid expansion is going to happen. And that's just my gut feeling. I think the governor is behind it, even though he said he wasn't. And it's just going to happen. I don't know what, you know, my big question is what's going to happen with our education network. Are we going to throw Common Core out? I think that that's a possibility as people wake up to the fact they've been snookered once again.
Do you really believe so that that Common Core would be thrown out, since it, like, healthcare seems to be more and more entrenched?
Yeah, but we've seen around the country, various states have taken a closer look at it, and they're cutting back, and they're jettisoning it. I think that Idaho is going to be one of those states. I think they're going to find that, and I personally, you know, when I ran my campaign, I was most concerned about the invasion of privacy. That was the big hot button for me. I think that, all this is a method for Big Brother to collect information on our children that, will plague them for the rest of their lives, that, they basically have given up their privacy. I don't see our Attorney General doing anything about it, but I think it'll play well in our legislature as a means of getting rid of Common Core.
So you're predicting Common Core might be out the door?
I hope so.
Will it happen?
Well, like I said, I didn't do the numbers, but I think that they're, if again, the conservatives can at least get vocal and can get concerted effort behind it, I think we can defeat Common Core.
Chris Troupas, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. What was your take on the, gay marriage issue?
Well, a couple of things. I don't think that there's any way we can legislate morality. I don't think that we can tell people how they want to live. And I don't have any problem with members of the gay community. I have friends who are gay. I've actually represented gay people in the past, and I have no problem with that whatsoever. But this was an issue that never should have been decided by the courts or legislature. Marriage is a sacrament created by God. Marriage is should have been resolved that way. But the problem, what I see now is the legal position that the state of Idaho is in. Unless we get saved by the Supreme Court, which I find unlikely.
Well, what do you make of the Supreme Court coming in on that other circuit and saying, you know, the other circuit ruling and saying, look, we agree with the states. Marriage is protected. It's defined between a man and woman by constitutional amendment. Have they forced the hand of the Supreme Court to take a look at this now?
I think they have, and that's why I said maybe we'll be saved by it. But the problem that Idaho has is we never made that argument. Our attorney general never made that argument in the district court here. In other words, when the case was brought, it was brought on 14th Amendment grounds. You violated our equal protection rights. And they did that by defining themselves as a protected class. In other words, if a gay man can't marry another gay man, they said that their equal protection was violated. But you see, that's a red herring. The point is that equal protection says if you're treated differently than I am, then your equal protection has been violated. But I can't marry a man, nor can anybody else. The marriage requirements are the same for everybody. Everybody can marry a person they're not related to who is of the opposite gender. Everybody is treated that way. Suddenly, we've created a class that says you should be able to marry people of the same gender. And in fact, the Supreme Court, when it said it's up to the states to define marriage, was leaving that up to the states.
More with Chris Troupas next. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, Chris Troupas with us. Attorney, man of the world, former candidate for attorney general, talking about the makeup of the gay marriage cases, if you will, and getting back to the arguments that Idaho had as opposed to the other states that possibly will have their case heard before the Supreme Court. What was their argument? Was it states' rights?
Well, yeah, the case that won, they stood on the single argument. The Supreme Court has said it's up to the states to define marriage, and therefore it is not a federal equal protection issue. It is a states' rights issue. If Idaho's attorney general, in making the arguments, had been brave enough to stick with the single issue instead of falling to the trap of responding to the arguments made by the plaintiffs, which were all 14th Amendment equal protection arguments, then Idaho would be in a different position on appeal. But unfortunately, Idaho fell into the same trap that all of the states that have lost this case fell into, which is you read the complaint and you respond, knee-jerk reaction, and say, oh, we have to deny that it's an equal protection violation. No, what you had to do is say, there isn't any equal protection issue here. And that's what the state that won did. They said, There's no equal protection issue here because the everybody in the country can marry the same people. Women can marry men can marry women, so long as they're not related. There is no equal protection, no classification. You cannot create classes. What about the people who can't marry their pets? Is that a special class?
Right.
What about people who can't marry more than one person or groups of people who can't marry groups of people? Is that a protected class? What about people who can't marry children? Is that a special class? We have, cannot define equal protection because what you've done is you've created a premise that basically resolves the issue. You have a false premise.
What about legally speaking, if same-sex marriage is the law, the Supreme Court once and for all decides that, does that mean that we could take a look at polygamy, like Utah has been challenged, and then maybe somebody does want to marry their sister, maybe somebody wants to marry their pet goat?
Absolutely.
I mean, the law is about standards. Have we eroded all standards?
I think we have. The point is that when the Supreme Court made that decision that said it's up to the states, they were waiting for the states to take that issue and run with it. And instead, what we got were
How could they take that issue, though, Chris? Because to me, and you had a lot of people like yourself going, expect challenges. It's going to be a 14th Amendment issue, and this thing is going to be overturned. I mean, it was almost as if the Supreme Court gave the activists a roadmap to overturning a legal constitutional amendment passed by the will of the people.
They did, but the problem is you've got two sides to any lawsuit. And when the attorney generals on the other side don't take that, you know, you can take your strongest argument and stick with it, or you can argue, you can do a shotgun because you don't believe in that argument. When you do the shotgun approach, which is what every attorney general did except for the ones who've won.
Right.
What happens is you give the courts the option to choose the politically correct choice.
To option out.
The option out. And that's right. What happened in every case. We had to have a brave attorney general who was willing to say, you know what, I'm going to stand or fall on this because it's the right argument. Now, luckily, and I say luckily, the Supreme Court has now been faced. You know, the reason the Supreme Court didn't hear the issues before was they declined to hear those other cases because there wasn't a conflict in the circuits. But you know why else? Because they didn't have to make that, go back and make a tough decision. Now they do. Now the Supreme Court has a division among the circuits, one saying it's states' rights, one saying it's not. How does the Supreme Court get out of that? They're going to have to go back to that other decision and say we were either wrong when we said it's a state issue, or we were right. And now we'll overturn all of the states in which gay marriage has been allowed.
Yeah, you have, and the Supreme Court even cited when they decided not to hear the appeals of Idaho and other states that 27 circuits had, agreed with the idea of marriage being a right protected by the Constitution between a man and a man and a woman and a woman. So this does give us a problem based on your research, your time in the courtroom. How do you think the Supreme Court will hear this case?
I think they're going to strike down gay marriage.
Really?
I do. Because
will this be the redemption of Justice Roberts?
I think it will. I actually think it will. And not just because he's angry at President Obama for being, you know, crazy with the Constitution. I think that the point is the Supreme Court could have heard the other cases all coming up and could have resolved the gay marriage issue in favor of gay marriage. They could have resolved it. They declined to hear it, even though they had a number of states asking them to hear the case. There was certainly a sufficient question presented, but they declined to hear it.
Well, they punted on Windsor and DOMA. I mean, the idea that, the state of California decided not to defend its own law, you know, invalidated the people that did defend it. I mean, to me, it's still, the case is still being made. And then the idea of DOMA being shot down. I go back to this issue as a put on your political hat then. If it's shot down, I mean, we're dealing with Ferguson fallout. What's going to happen now where all these people thought they were married, thought that they had won? I mean, all heck's going to break loose.
I guess they could move to California or New York or Massachusetts or Connecticut or some other place.
Right. Have we ever seen a place, though, a time in political history where, you know, and Karl Rove was the architect of it, where you had these states passing these constitutional amendments, and then you had the detailed plan to overturn it by going through the courts? Brilliant strategies on both parts of the issue here.
Yes, absolutely. Brilliant strategy. And you know, the bottom line is we're never going to resolve this through this process. All we're going to do is create more conflict. And, you know, our country needs to change one way or the other. I think I see the winds of change already. The question is, what's the next generation going to do?
How big of an issue, though, is the media?
It's huge. Absolutely huge. Look at what they did in Ferguson. I mean, you know, and look right now, of course, with our president all the way from the top down, all they're doing is saying the grand jury results are irrelevant. They have no meaning. Who cares what the grand jury decided? Yes, this officer was innocent, but that doesn't matter because people's feelings, they don't feel like the officers really care about them. I mean, this is just irresponsible.
Well, as an officer of the court, what goes on in your mind when you hear this, when you see the behavior of Eric Holder?
You know, if I was to say that a court, I can disagree with a court's decision, but if I said the process isn't working because it is corrupted, which is exactly what Eric Holder is basically saying about the grand jury process, this is a corrupt process, I'd be disbarred. And you know what? I think Eric Holder should be brought up for making these kind of statements. They're not political statements. He's speaking as an attorney, as the chief attorney of the United States. And when he does so, he has a responsibility to defend and uphold the judicial system. If you don't believe in the judicial system, you better not be practicing law.
More with our great friend Chris Troupas. Kevin Miller in the morning here. Don't forget, you can always check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Instant updates all the time. Of course, our website, 580KIDO. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Chris Troupas with us, attorney, former candidate for attorney general. You ever going to run again?
Well, my wife says no, but I've had an awful lot of people asking me to.
I bet.
And there's still a lot that needs to be done. Over the next 4 years, I do intend to be active in Idaho politics. I intend to be active in helping write laws for the legislature, in helping the political process, in building up the conservative movement in Idaho. And whether that ends up behind the scenes or as a candidate, it remains to be seen. I ran because I believed I could make a change, could make a difference, and a positive difference. And I ran because the Lord put it on my heart to do so. And if he does that again, then you know what? My wife and I are devoted Christians, and we will follow what the Lord leads. But I will not do it out of ego, and I won't do it out of pride or personal ambition. I will do it if the time is right, if the Lord leads, and if there's something that needs to be done that I feel I'm uniquely qualified to do.
Let me hit you with another issue. What about the legal challenges to Obamacare?
I think that we're going to see a different result in our Supreme Court, and I think that President Obama is a little concerned about that. Justice Roberts, of course, sided with, you know, on the legality of Obamacare before. But this issue is whether or not the specific part of the law that said only state exchanges could provide this funding, whether it's limited to state exchanges or federal exchanges. Obama simply by executive order said the federal exchanges can do the same thing, and the law clearly says otherwise. This is a clear overreach of the executive with the legislature. And given what's just happened on immigration, given what's happened on everything else, I expect the Supreme Court to slap him. And I slap him good. And I think that we could very well see Obamacare go down on this issue.
Even the liberals on the court.
Even the liberals on the court. Remember, we're now talking about separation of powers.
Sure.
And to the extent that the executive says, I don't have to listen to the legislature, the judiciary is sitting in the same boat. And they are just as vulnerable. You know, they're protecting their own little fiefdom, too. So, you know, I once heard it said people think that judges aren't real people. When I was trained in law school and beyond, they talked about jury trials versus judge trials. And the philosophy was you try a case to a judge different than you do to a jury. And I say, no way. The judge puts on his pants, you know, one pant leg at a time,
sure,
or her skirt, whatever. And the judge has the same emotions. And I've tried every case the same emotions to the judge. You still have to persuade. It's the same thing with our Supreme Court. Yeah, they're old. Yeah, they're crotchety. But yeah, they're people too.
Back to the Supreme Court, back to gay marriage for a minute. Was it Kennedy that had the statements after Windsor that it was, you know, if you believe in traditional marriage or really just condemning folks? I'm trying to think, if gay marriage goes down, would Kennedy flip as well? How would that work? Who would be where would the five votes come from?
Oh, that's really hard to say. I think well, we got Scalia and Thomas and
Alito.
Alito, and we're going to get Roberts. I think Kennedy would probably be the swing vote.
Well, that'll be interesting. Back to the Supreme Court, though, with Obamacare. So, hypothetically, if it would go down, what would happen to our economy?
I mean, that's a real good question.
Because we're struggling so much with the integration of it to get out of it, how difficult would that be?
Yeah, if you're going to unravel it, well, I think you're above my pay grade there.
Oh, well, look, Chris, I just ask the questions. I don't answer
them. Yeah, I don't think I can answer it either. But, yeah, it would create a lot of turmoil. For one thing, the insurance industries have been making a whole lot of money on it.
Right.
And that's gonna go south on them. And of course the medical industry, the pharmaceutical companies and all that, they're making a lot of money as well. And of course we've got the whole bureaucracy of the state exchanges and the federal exchanges and, all of that disappears. Yes, it would be turmoil in our country. And, who knows?
Well, Chris Troop is with us. We thought he knew. Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Let's, continue on with the Supreme Court, because people don't talk about them. You said they're old, they're crotchety, but to me, that's where the elections matter the most.
Absolutely.
Because you get to appoint folks at the Supreme Court. Look at what would have happened if David Souter had been just a moderate as opposed to a lib.
Oh.
The course of history would have been changed.
Tremendously changed. And the decisions that our Supreme Court makes last for generations. And they are become precedent for future decisions. And its law is incrementally made. And you appoint a Supreme Court justice and he or she might sit on the court for 20 or 30 years, continuing to make laws, continuing, you know, they say they interpret them, but they're making laws.
Right.
I mean, but continuing to change the entire structure of our society. And in the end, those are huge, huge differences.
But you take a look at those folks, and like you said, we're all human. I mean, after a while, I mean, do you get tired of it? I mean, you've got guys and gals in their 80s. I mean, Ruth Bader Ginsburg just had a stent put in.
But they're staying on the court because they are, these are your radicals. I mean, these are people,
right,
who are truly radical, who truly know the power that they wield. And, you know, power is difficult to let go of.
Sure.
You know, we are told to hold on to everything lightly and let it go, you know. And we're also, remember Lord Acton's comment, all power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Right.
Our Supreme Court's not immune to the influence of power and position.
But you take a look at those old warriors. I mean, how much longer do you think those guys have?
I don't think they got a long time. I mean, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I certainly don't think she's going to be on the court very much longer.
Do you think she'll leave before Obama does?
She's trying not to because she would like. Now, if at this point in the last 2 years, he couldn't get a judicial appointment to the Supreme Court confirmed by our Congress for anything.
And now the Senate has changed.
Right. I just don't see them confirming any appointment that he's going to make because we know the kind of appointments he's going to make.
Well, we saw that with Sotomayor and Kagan.
Right, yeah. We know the kind of appointments he's
going to
make.
Well, you go back to elections mattering. You imagine if those two had been appointed by a Republican, if they had been a Republican nominees, you start you know, replenishing the bench, if you will.
Right.
You know, and you could take a look at Scalia and Thomas and those guys possibly retiring.
Right, right. And yeah, I think that's more problematic is if somebody like Scalia or Thomas were to retire. You know, we'd be in trouble. But I don't see the changes being in the next 2 years.
Well, and here's the other thing. The conservatives, the gun guys, have had great victories with this court.
Right.
It could have been very easy 5-4 the other way.
Yeah.
When we're talking about the right to keep and bear arms.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's on that razor's edge, though.
Right.
It's never going to change.
Unless you get lucky and get 2 or 3.
Yeah, and the next president is going to get 2 or 3. Which means the president elected in 2016 will make, it may change the direction of America, you know, diametrically.
We'll start on this and then we'll continue on. But let's start a little about the president's overreach on a lot of issues, particularly immigration.
Right.
What is he doing?
Well, you know, and we've seen this before. Of course, Reagan had made some changes in immigration. Basically, all the president is doing is saying, you know what? I've got prosecutorial discretion. If I don't want to prosecute a crime, I don't have to prosecute a crime because I'm the executive. No different than if your sheriff said, we're no longer going to arrest people for using, you know, marijuana. I mean, he could do that. I think it's a dereliction of duty. And so the question is, at what point in the line does it become a dereliction of duty as opposed to prosecutorial discretion? Typically, a prosecutor has discretion to choose not to prosecute certain crimes if they don't make economic sense, if they don't make, you know, policy sense. But you do that on a case by case basis. That is, you know, if there's a specific circumstances that make, you know, your case difficult to win, you know, or something of that sort, then you don't pursue it. But you don't take a whole section of the law and say, we're just not going to enforce this section of the law. Basically, that is rewriting the law.
Didn't he do that with DOMA, though, when he decided not to defend DOMA, even though he was bound to do it? And that set a precedent because presidents in the past had problems with laws, but they knew that it was their constitutional duty to defend it.
I actually think our attorney general was the one who was, you know, he was out front with the DOMA issue. And I think that was a dereliction of his duties. I think that was a violation of his constitutional obligations.
And we see that a lot with this crew. More coming up with Chris Troupas. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Time.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Chris Troupas with us. Kevin Miller in the morning talking about some legal issues here. Let's get back to the president's overreach. We see this with immigration. I love how he kind of selectively reinvents history. Well, Reagan didn't. Well, Reagan, I believe Reagan and Congress did it. Reagan just didn't magically wave a wand and say, hello, illegals, you're now legal.
No, he didn't. He worked with Congress.
Right.
We've got a president who absolutely refuses to work with Congress. He refuses to accept the fact that elections do matter. And, you know, the American public has spoken. And they elected a new Senate, a new Congress, and here he is basically saying, well, you know, I'm representing all the people who didn't vote. Well, you know, the point is, if you don't vote, you don't have a say in what goes on. If you're not interested, you know, this goes back to even I'm concerned about the people who do vote, who don't know who they vote for, but. My gosh, the people that don't vote at all?
I still like that. I'm representing the people that... What about his rhetoric and the fact that today there's a lack of critical thinking skills? People just hear, those that are tuned into the media, hear what the media says, and instead of questioning it, readily accept it. Well, the president said he can do it. Past presidents did it.
I think 85% of the American public has become completely prone to that.
Yeah.
And I don't think they remember from day to day. And it's obvious because basically 90% of what comes out of this person's mouth is a lie. And yet people don't seem to care. It doesn't seem to affect his approval rating.
Tough to say, though, about the president, though, isn't it?
It is.
As an American. Tough to say.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. But
you'll
I think
be put on the list.
Oh, I think I'm already on the list.
Yeah, you're on the list. Well, you take a look at what he's done to whistleblowers, what he's done to reporters.
Right.
Scary. It's like a novel.
It is. And, you know, but you know, people that don't stand for something will fall for anything. And that's what where we're at. We have very few people who will stand for something.
Right.
And unfortunately, going back to our conservatives in Idaho, I was at a whole lot of functions. You've been at a whole lot of functions.
Right.
We see the same small cadre of true believers.
However, is that a reflection on the true believers, or is that a reflection of the times where, you know, when I was in the radio business, and I guess I still am, we'd always say it's not us, it's them. Maybe it's us.
I think it is us. I think we have to take responsibility. We can't change them, but we can galvanize and change ourselves.
Right.
And we need to do that. We need to be able to persuade other people to join us. And unfortunately, we get people for the fringes or for the moment, but
right.
then you know what? They go back to the TV set, they go back to the sports, they go back to the fridge. And you know, we cannot be a refrigerator society. We have to be listening. In ancient Greece, it was mandatory to participate in the political process.
Right.
Well, you know what? It needs to be mandatory here. We are a free society. We have to keep it free.
I think that was like the only true democracy, though, right?
It was.
Yeah.
And it was small enough that it actually worked. But, you know, every year they required people to attend a meeting every year where they did nothing but learn about the political process and participate in the political process. And they paid their citizens to attend it. But it was mandatory.
I don't think they have the debt that we do.
Well, no, they definitely did. It was a small group.
Right.
And, of course, they failed. You know, they sank, too, because, you know, I don't know exactly why, but they did.
Chris Troupas, we appreciate it, sir.
Thank you very much for having me, Kevin. And you have a great holiday season. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas.
And congratulations on the Marconi Award, if
Thank
I
you.
Haven't already congratulated
no,
you.
No, I appreciate that. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 5-